land is yours. This land is mine. From California to New York, from the redwood forest to the upstream water, this land was made for you and me.
Welcome to People Speak. I'm Malik Johnson. Today we have a powerful political activist who has called for the impeachment of the President George Bush and the impeachment of Vice President Dick Cheney. Our special guest for this hour is also the Washington Director of Democrats.com, ImpeachPAC.org, co-founder of OutChapterDowningStreet.org, CensureBush.org, MeetWithCindy.org, and also KatrinaMarch.org. We are pleased to have you with us, Mr. David Swanson. Thanks a lot, David, for coming.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
If you don't mind, David, I'd like to call you David instead of Mr. Swanson. It's a little bit more personal to say David.
Yeah.
All right. David, you know, you've been extremely active in your objective of having President Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney impeached. I was just curious, just an open question, what is your driving force behind this activism?
Well, above all, the question of whether when 2009 rolls around and years beyond, whether we're going to have limitations on what a president or a vice president can do. Because if we're not, if we're going to go into 2009 and say, look, Democrat, Republican, man, woman, whoever you are, if you want to spy on people and violation of the laws, if you want to kidnap people, send them off to be tortured, you want to lie us into wars, commit all sorts of war crimes, you want to throw out any law you don't like with a little signing statement, it's all there. It's all yours. You're not a president. You're a dictator. Well, you know, with those kind of powers, people in the future could do things even worse, much, much worse than what we've seen Bush and Cheney do. You don't give those kind of powers to anyone, and this is what frightens me.
Well, let me ask you, how long have you been involved in this activism?
Well, some people who I work with who are faster learners than I have been pushing for impeachment of Bush and Cheney since before they took office, when the Supreme Court rather unconstitutionally put them in. But I got involved about exactly 2 years ago when the Downing Street memos came out, and some friends and colleagues of mine asked me to help work on exposing the Downing Street memos as evidence that we were lied into a war. And we really thought that we might be able to get somewhere quickly, even then, even with a Republican majority in the Congress. And we've been pushing for a couple of years, and we've got a Democratic majority, and we're making a little bit of progress, and it's looking possible that we might get to impeachment.
Well, have you met much opposition in what you're doing? And what are some of the criticism that you meet frequently?
Well, you don't get that. I mean, it depends whether you're talking with Republicans or Democrats or Independents or Greens or too fed up to cares. You know, it depends who you're talking to, and whether you're talking to Congress members or you're talking to ordinary citizens is tremendously different. But you don't get a lot from anybody of Bush hasn't committed impeachable offenses. Cheney hasn't committed impeachable offenses. I mean, there's very, very widespread acceptance that they have, but there is great disagreement on whether to actually impeach them for it. And this would have the people who wrote our Constitution rolling in their graves. I mean, this was central to what they were about in writing that document. I mean, they fully expected that every generation, at least, we would have to impeach somebody and throw them out of office. This was how we were going to keep from getting a king again. And yet we now talk about, well, yeah, they've committed all the highest impeachable offenses, but we need to think strategically about whether or not we should impeach them.
I'm going to go into greater detail about some of those overarching questions that I just posed you, but I just wanted to touch upon them just to get the listeners their lips wet to begin to think or to question, say, okay, what are some of these more profound questions? Let me ask you, how are you funded? I mean, how's your activism funded? You have impeachpac.org, you got democrats.com, you got afterdowningstreet.com. I mean, you have a lot of websites out there. How do you get donations?
Yes. Democrats.com is an organization of activists that's organized online at a website, and it raises money largely by sending emails to that list of 300,000 activists for other groups and causes. And I'm paid by Democrats.com to work on afterdowningstreet.org and other efforts. Democrats.com is one of many organizations involved.
Do you have any like huge sponsors or those who donate like George Soros or anyone of that caliber?
No. I and everyone in the peace movement and in the impeachment movement have always wished that some of the right-wing myths about us were true and that we really were being funded by wealthy Hollywood liberal elites. And George Soros and Michael Moore and so on. And Michael Moore, to his credit, is very active in pushing for impeachment and has occasionally helped people out here and there, helped Cindy Sheehan out back in August of a year ago. But no, there are, for the most part, no wealthy Americans putting even, you know, thousands, much less tens of thousands, into the impeachment effort.
Well, you know, I had to ask because that's one of the common statements about such websites. Oh, you know, these big financiers over there, you know, they're doing it all. You know, sometimes they're conspiracies, and I just wanted to clear that up real quick. Let me talk about more about this impeachment issue. You know, there's an unscientific poll, David. This unscientific poll, MSNBC online live poll, is conducted as of yesterday that asked, do you believe President Bush's actions justify impeachment? Out of 429,503 responses, almost 500,000 responses, 88% of the people replied, yes, between the secret spying, the deceptions leading to war, and more, there's plenty to justify putting him on trial. You know, I think that's rather, you know, staggering. Out of approximately 429,000 responses, almost 400,000 think that Bush and Cheney both should be impeached. Do you find that a bit, even for just an unscientific, you know, online poll, do you find that somewhat staggering there?
No, because I don't take unscientific polls seriously. It's self-selected. But if those 500,000 people who took the trouble to go vote in that poll, and God knows some of them probably figured out how to vote more than once, would take the effort to call MSNBC and ask them to do a real poll,
a real one, yes.
He's getting somewhere because there is no excuse for the polling companies, for the media companies, not to be doing the real polls. I mean, the last serious poll that was done was last October by Newsweek, and you were at 51% wanting Bush impeached. In January, they were afraid to ask it again, but they asked, do you wish the Bush presidency were over now? And they got 58%. So you see it rising, you know, and it's certainly a majority for Bush, and it's probably 2/3 of Americans for Cheney. But I'm guessing. We can't prove it. Nobody will do the polls. They won't take our money to do the polls. You know.
Well, what about inside? Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead.
Okay. What about the scientific poll? Because I wanted to mention the unscientific poll, and then there's a scientific poll. You know, Insider Advantage published a poll on May 8, 2007, that asked squarely what you were talking about. In fact, it asked the registered voters, would you favor or oppose the impeachment by Congress of President George W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney? 39% of registered voters responded in favor of Congress impeaching both President Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney, and 55% opposed. Now, according to this current scientific poll, as I understand, you know, have you not come across that particular poll, the Insider Advantage?
Yes, I have. I mean, it's a very right-wing group. You know, polls are done by center, left, and right-wing organizations, and you have to take them with a grain of salt. This is a very right-wing group, and it's interesting that they ask Bush and Cheney in the same question. I mean, nobody's ever done this before. There's not a single poll on Cheney out there anywhere that's a serious poll, and there's so few on Bush. Here they put them both into the same question, but and then you have to go look at, you know, what percentage of the people they polled were Republicans and so forth. But even so, that's a higher number than you ever had for Clinton being impeached when it was the news story day and night.
And that's interesting because former Congressman Bob Barr commented about this Insider Advantage poll. And it was really interesting. I don't know if the listeners know about former Congressman Bob Barr. He's the one who initiated the impeachment process of former President Bill Clinton. And former Congressman Barr noted about the Insider poll that during former President Clinton's impeachment, he, former Congressman Barr, said he was not sure the leaders behind Clinton's impeachment, quote, ever really had polling numbers in favor of impeachment that were this high, end quote. He even maybe commented about this Insider Advantage poll, and he says, well, he does not even sure that he, you know, ever had him this high. You know, this is pretty high. You know, one of the things that really I found staggering about the Insider poll, even if it's a right-wing one, is that about 42% of the independent voters favored impeaching Bush and Cheney. Now, you know, that it wouldn't that give the right wingers a pause for concern? 42% of the independent voters are saying, hey, impeachment, and you know, that's kind of like rather drastic.
You would think, and we've seen mainstream corporate media polls with 20% of Republicans wanting impeachment of Bush, with a major with 85-90% of Democrats wanting impeachment of Bush. I mean, these are amazing numbers for the story not being in the news, the hearings not being underway in Congress, and you compare it with Clinton when the newspapers were demanding he resign, when we had to watch the prosecutor get his newspaper in the morning. It was saturation coverage, demand for impeachment coming from the media and from the House leadership. And it was usually in the 20s. It never got to 39%, much less 51% or 58%. So you can imagine what would happen if impeachment really got underway in the House. You would have overwhelming public support. And, of course, that's the way it happened with Nixon. And at this stage in the process of impeaching Nixon, everyone was declaring it impossible. Wouldn't happen.
Yeah. I see. Well, you know, what I want to do is actually leave the poll for a moment, and I want to talk a little bit about impeachment itself, because I know a lot of people, maybe a lot of listeners, may have some idea what impeachment entails or what it's about and what it means. So I'd like to, if you would be so kind, I'd like to go a little bit through that. Impeach, you know, of course, comes from a Latin root, I believe, of prevent or impede, and basically impeachment is removal of a high-ranking official in the United States government. That's pretty much what it is. And it has some constitutional authority. And as I understand, it comes primarily from Article 2, Section 4 of the United States Constitution. I was wondering, David, would you have that relevant language as far as what Article 2, Section 4 of the Constitution is discussing?
Well, I don't know if I can do it word for word, but it essentially says that the president, vice president, and other officers of our government shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. And so there's a distinction between impeachment and conviction. That is, when you're impeached in the House, you're just indicted. You're just accused. You then go have a trial in the Senate, and if you're convicted, then you can be removed from office. You can also be barred from ever holding office again. And you can, these can be the results of treason, bribery, or high crimes and misdemeanors. And
well, let me ask.
Go ahead.
Well, it discusses civil offices. I'm sorry if I interrupted you, David, because I really want to get this point out for the audience. Article 2, Section 4 of the United States Constitution discusses civil officers are congressmen, and I know this is not George Bush, and I know it's not U.S. Supreme Court justices, but I was just curious as a side note, are congressmen and congresswomen civil officers? Can we impeach them too?
Absolutely, absolutely. And judges and attorney generals and secretaries of state and the guy who, you know, brings the mail around the office in the agriculture department, all of them, everybody. Everybody. You know.
Well, what are high crimes and misdemeanors? A misdemeanor, presumably a misdemeanor is not what we would call it, you know, of course, in a criminal court. We would say a misdemeanor is anything, you know, not with less than a year in jail as a penalty. What is a high crime and misdemeanor? Because former President Gerald Ford said something interesting about high crimes and misdemeanors. And what he said was, he said high crimes and misdemeanors are whatever a majority of the House of Representatives say it is at the moment. Do you agree with former President Ford?
I do, but there's more that can be said. And
okay.
One thing that can be said is that it doesn't have to be a crime. That is, you know, and not all crimes qualify. It has to be an offense that could be committed by that person only because they were in that office. And it has to be an assault on our system of government and on the integrity of that office. So when Richard Nixon cheated on his taxes, that was a crime, but it was not an impeachable offense. You can cheat on your taxes, and you're not the president, right? But when Richard Nixon lied to the public, that was not a crime, but it was an impeachable offense. As the president of a democratic nation, to lie to the public about important matters of national policy. And so there are endless specific crimes that Bush and Cheney have committed, felonies, misdemeanors, all sorts, and there are other abuses that are not technically crimes. But there's a long list of both types of offenses that are impeachable offenses. And then there are other things that aren't. So it's you know, it's an old phrase that predates our nation, that comes from Britain, and it really means crimes committed by people in high offices of power, doing things that they could only do in those positions.
Well, you know, we have pretty much the Article 2, Section 4 of the United States Constitution understood. So we do know that it's the president, vice president, and all civil officers and who can be impeached, removed, and convicted of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. And so I think people now, they understand what's the source for impeachment. The next question really is, what are the steps for impeaching? What happens? How do you begin it? You know, and I think many people are curious, how does this all get rolling? How do you know, what happens here?
Well, one way that it can start is for a Congress member or a group of Congress members to introduce articles of impeachment. And Congressman Dennis Kucinich has done that against Vice President Dick Cheney. He has a bill, H-Res, or House Resolution 333, which contains three articles of impeachment addressed to Vice President Cheney. And then other members can support that. Now, if the full House takes a vote, they could table it, they could kill it, or they could support it and send it to the Judiciary Committee. It has already been sent to the Judiciary Committee, but that committee needs to be compelled to take it up and not just sit on it. And so Congress members are signing on slowly but surely as co-sponsors of House Resolution 333. And if enough four members so far. We need 50. We need 100. We need members of the Judiciary Committee, and we need the Democratic leadership in the House. I mean, and then the process is that the Judiciary Committee will hold hearings and investigations and look into the matters and vote on articles of impeachment, and any that they pass will then be brought to a vote in the full House. And if they pass with a majority in the full House, that person is impeached.
Yes, now, that's really important. But you know, David, and I'm sorry to interrupt there, because I really want to make that and stress that point. Many people, as you stressed earlier, many people think impeachment is the actual ouster of the president and conviction of the president, but it's not. You've already said that once, and I wanted to stress it for the listeners. Impeachment is not the actual conviction of the president. Impeachment is when basically the House of Representatives have voted by a majority to hold you responsible for what they feel is impeachable. That's pretty much what it is.
It's they're like a grand jury indicting you, and then you go to trial. So you've just been accused. You know, the House has determined that there's enough evidence that we ought to have a trial and see what's
right.
You know, there's enough evidence to lock these people up right now with Bush and Cheney. We don't need investigations. We don't need hearings. But an impeachment would simply be saying, let's have a trial in the Senate. And to start the impeachment process, to begin to have investigations and hearings into impeachment, is a step back from there. And yet that's not where we are right now. We're another step back at just having random investigations avoiding the topic of impeachment.
Right. You know, there. I do understand also that there's an independent prosecutor who's designated by the House Judiciary Committee and also the Attorney General. This individual also would be the first in line to look at the charge, and then this person would refer it to the House Judiciary Committee. Out of curiosity, have you heard of the website, David? It's impeachforpeace.org. And the reason why I ask you if you've ever heard of this website is because they're making some interesting claims. They're saying that private citizens can initiate the impeachment process by submitting what is called a memorial for impeachment to the designated prosecutor that's been, you know, of course, chosen by the House Judiciary Committee and also been chosen by the Attorney General. Have you ever heard of that? Because on their website, they've got some downloadable documents that you can fill out, the impeachment, the memorial for impeachment, that you can send to this designated prosecutor. Have you ever heard of anything of that nature?
Yeah, of course. And it's a great website. Friends of mine in Minnesota who are pushing for impeachment. And if you go to afterdowningstreet.org, you'll find a link to their site. If you click on Impeachment Resource Center on afterdowningstreet.org, you'll find the same information. If you go to impeachbush.tv, you'll also find a great array of this kind of information. And you know, a lot of what we're talking about is not legal and it's not constitutional. It's traditional. And there's a rule book for the House that was originally written by Thomas Jefferson. So it's called the Jefferson Manual of Rules for all the complicated parliamentary procedures of how the House operates. And there are ways that impeachments have been initiated in the past, including a state legislature has sent a petition to the U.S. House saying, please impeach this judge, and they've impeached and removed that judge. People have, ordinary citizens, or a city council or a town council, you know, have put together a petition and sent it to the House. And so all of these are acceptable, and there's some tradition, and it's written down in the Jefferson Manual, and there's some expectation that things will be taken seriously, but there's no legal force. If no Congress members take it seriously, it dies. And you know, the best example of this is Vermont. You know, last year a guy named Dan DeWalt stood up in his town meeting, which is public town meetings in Vermont, and said, let's pass a little impeachment resolution. And they did it, and then five more towns did it. And the next year, 30 more towns did it. And they got the state Senate in Vermont to pass a resolution saying, we want impeachment. And they got their Congress member to hold a big town meeting last week where he had 300 people tell him, we must have impeachment. So today, he went to the floor of the House of Representatives and made a speech about the great activists in Vermont and what they say and how badly they want impeachment, and he wants to communicate how sincere they are and he loves them, but he's not going to do anything about it.
So even if we do the memorial, if we as citizens do this memorial for impeachment, there is no legal mechanism to force them to consider it.
No, but that's not to say you shouldn't do it. It's a different form of phoning your Congress member, emailing your Congress member, doing a sit-in in your Congress member's office, getting on the into the media and talking about your Congress member. It's a different form of pressure, and it's very effective. And there have been, over the past couple of years, Congress members who have responded to towns in their district passing resolutions demanding impeachment. I mean, it gets in the news. It shows the determination of people to get something done, and their ability to get it done at lower levels of government where our democratic process is more open and honest than it is at the federal level.
So you're encouraging that we should do it, nonetheless?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, gotcha.
Get your town, get your city, get your labor union, get your state government, everybody pass a resolution demanding impeachment. But the whole purpose is to put pressure on members of the House of Representatives. And you can also do that directly with phone calls and emails and visits and protests and petitions and sitting in their office and not leaving.
Wow. You know what? I'm going to have to take a break here, David, and because there's a couple of questions I'd like to ask you, but there are many people in the virtual auditorium who, they've got questions for you, the people calling throughout the world who have questions for you. I understand the lines are already starting to pile up because people have many questions for you. I want to go ahead and take a station identification break right about now. Just say, this is People Speak. I'm Malik Johnson speaking with the activist, Mr. David Swanson. So we're going to come back in approximately, I think, 1 minute. Thanks a lot.
Hi, this is Randy Rhodes. You know, when Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held serious bipartisan investigations that did result in articles of impeachment. He resigned before he could be impeached, but strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war, lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court orders, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, tortured, used illegal weapons, and targeted civilians. Ask your Congress member to impeach George Bush and Dick Cheney. This message is sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Got questions? The library's got answers, and books and magazines and CDs and videos and web access and databases and all sorts of other resources at your library. In a world that's information rich, libraries are information smart. Find the right answer and a whole lot more at your library.
Join us every Tuesday
from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern
on the People Speak with host Basma Farhat
as she interviews guests from the realms of politics,
activism,
spirituality,
literature,
science,
and other social issues.
The People Speak provides a forum
for live audience interaction,
allowing you to speak with guests
and for them to hear and answer you.
Welcome back to People Speak. I'm Malik Johnson speaking with a very special guest, Mr. David Swanson. And David was telling us, well, actually he was giving us a lot of information as far as what impeachment was about. He was telling us what is the process of impeachment. I still want to ask a few more questions before people get their questions in. You know, David, we were talking about this Judiciary Committee, and we were just talking about some of the things the Judiciary Committee could do. They could submit the issue to the House of Representatives. And you also stressed a very important point. Once the House of Representatives vote to by a majority to actually formally accuse the high official, that individual has been impeached at that very moment. And that's the point that David has, and I want the listeners to understand that, that's a point that he has made that people need to understand. Impeachment is not the actual removal of the official. It is just when the House of Representatives vote to formally accuse a person of committing some particular offense. One of the other things I like to go, well, you know, one of the things that a lot of people don't know is the House Judiciary Committee is headed by Congressman John Conyers. And I understand, David, is Conyers involved in bringing up the impeachment in some type of articles?
Well, about a year and a half ago, he introduced a bill to create a preliminary investigation into possible grounds for impeachment, which is purely redundant. You know, an impeachment investigation is an investigation into grounds for impeachment, but he thought he could get more people to sign on that way. And he introduced a couple of bills to censure Bush and Cheney for their refusal to turn over documents to Congress and to, you know, reply to demands for information from Congress. And you know, we got up to where, and he also published, a 350-page report, which you can find on our website at AfterDowningStreet.org, laying out many of the impeachable offenses and specific crimes and felonies committed by Bush and Cheney and company. And so he knows what's what. But about a year ago, Nancy Pelosi ordered the Democrats off impeachment. And John Conyers put a piece of tape over his mouth and crawled under his bed, and that was the last you heard of him until really recent weeks, when he's made some comments that would suggest he's somewhat open to impeachment. But you know, he's not going to be the one to take the lead and crusade for it. We're going to have to get a bunch of other Congress members, including members of his committee, to sign on and push for it, and we're going to have to get somebody in the Democratic leadership moved before John Conyers moves it. He doesn't want to bring up impeachment and have it fail. He wants to bring up impeachment and impeach somebody, and it's not about, you know, he might not find anything. You know, the offenses are public knowledge. It's about the political game. And you know, I'm not trying to make excuses for him. I don't think there is any moral justification for not pushing impeachment now. Every single member of Congress who is not, and that's all but four of them, are completely failing in the oath they've sworn. But that's where we stand.
Wow. You know, one of the other issues I wanted to talk briefly, and a lot of people probably think I'm going fast over this material, talking fast. One of the reasons why is it's so much material to get in. You know, I could actually do a 2 or 3 hour interview, and David couldn't do it because he's probably tired. But, you know, there's so much information to get into these this little time that we have. One of the other things that the common misunderstandings also, David, is people think that, as I understand, people think Nixon was impeached. Now, Nixon was never impeached, was he?
No. Clinton was impeached, you know, and Clinton stayed president because he was not convicted and removed from office. And Andrew Johnson was impeached. There are two presidents who've been impeached. And so when you ask, well, if you impeach Bush, then isn't Cheney president? No, if you impeach Bush, Bush is president. And then you go to the Senate for a trial. But Nixon saw articles of impeachment passed by the Judiciary Committee and sent to the full House. And everyone was convinced that the House was going to vote overwhelmingly in support, and then Nixon would have been impeached. And everyone was convinced that the Senate was going to vote to convict, and so he would be removed from office. And so before either of those things could happen, he jumped on a helicopter.
You know, you were talking about Nancy Pelosi, and prior to her becoming House Speaker, she basically said that impeaching Bush was off the table, and you related that to Congressman John Conyers, who is the head of the House Judiciary Committee. I wanted to ask you this, and I know people are waiting, but I have to get these questions in because they're so crucial. And I know you've been asked this many times, David, many times. But I have to ask this: what are the reasons that? What are the top three reasons? Let's try that. Top three reasons that you would recall, that you would call for Dick Cheney and also George Bush to be impeached. Top three reasons.
Well, again, stressing that it's not about them as individuals or who replaces them or which one we get first and so on. And I understand the implacable public demand that we get Cheney first. I mean, that's inevitable. I surrender to that. But it's about what limitations will there be on the offices of the presidency and the vice presidency come 2009. And I want there to be the limitation that they cannot lie us into wars. They cannot launch aggressive wars. They cannot launch wars without Congress. And they cannot blatantly lie to Congress and there be no consequences for it. I want there to be the limitation that they cannot violate the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act or any other statutory law on spying, and they cannot violate the Fourth Amendment in spying. They're spying on their political opponents. There's no other plausible explanation for what they're doing. And any future president, Democrat or Republican, is going to be hugely tempted to use that power if we leave it there. And I want them to be barred from kidnapping people, locking them up in secret prisons, sending them off to be tortured, torturing them. I want there to be habeas corpus, a judicial process, and the restrictions that are in our Bill of Rights, that the people who fought our revolution thought they were leaving these things behind in England. I want there to be restored the rights of the accused to a fair judicial process and trial, and not to be tortured, and for the president not to have the powers to violate these things. But the big scheme of things here is that, you know, the president should not be allowed to violate laws and to rewrite laws with so-called signing statements. The president and the vice president should operate within the rule of law.
You know, a lot of people talk about the violation of violating the United Nations Charter, which is the illegal war, violating other international law, discussing the torture, talk about Geneva Conventions, people talk about the illegal wiretapping, signing statements. That was a new one on me, the signing statements. I had never heard of such before George Bush. But some people also mentioned, you know, the CIA agent issue. Some people believe he's involved in that. The negligence of, and I know you have a website with Katrina. Katrina and 9/11, people believe that he was extremely negligent. And they talk about abuse of power. There's so many things that, you know, one could find. But you know, one of the biggest criticisms I've noticed is people will find for arguing not to impeach George Bush. I mean, I've heard people say, well, there's no specific statutory violation. It's a waste of time. You know, it'll harm the Democrats. It's divisive. One of the most interesting criticisms I heard for people not to want to impeach either one was this. They said that George Bush and Dick Cheney are the best recruiters for the Democrat Party. What do you think about that? As long as they're in office, they're going to have a long list, a whole line for the Democrat Party. What do you think about that particular criticism of why not to impeach them?
Well, Bush is in close running for, you know, least popular president ever measured in public popularity polls, but Cheney is half as popular as Bush. If you wanted to put an unpopular Republican in charge, who's already running the show anyway, you would get rid of Bush and make Cheney president. You'd destroy the Republican Party for 50 years if the Republican Party were dumb enough to go along with it. But I think what you're saying is exactly what Pelosi and Emanuel and Hoyer are thinking, and Rahm Emanuel has told the Washington Post that he wants Bush and Cheney there. He wants the war still going on in November 2008 so that the Democrats can, quote-unquote, oppose the war. Well, it's not going to work because November 2008 is so far away that between now and then, even this week, the public is going to force the Congress to take actual steps, binding real steps, to end the war quickly. And the public is going to force the Congress to impeach Cheney and Bush. But that's the way the Democrats think. They think we're best off not doing anything for 2 years so that we can oppose the same problems 2 years from now that we're facing now.
It's
immoral and it's stupid. It won't actually work.
Well, you know what, David? I'd like to take a couple of calls. People have been waiting. I had a lot of questions to ask you, and you've been wonderful in answering those particular questions. But those are important questions. I mean, from the Constitution, the legal authority, to what is involved in doing an impeachment, and we discussed, you know, why impeach Bush and Cheney, and what are some reasons for that people will argue not to impeach them. I mean, these are all some very important issues that we covered. But I'd like to go ahead and get the callers. And we, our first caller here is named James. He's from Rochester, New York. James, come up to the mic. Please state your question for Mr. Swanson. Well, apparently James is there, but I don't know what the issue is with James. Well, I'm going to have to continue on. Next caller, please come up to the mic, state your name, and where you from.
Yeah, thanks for having me. My name's Michael Jackson, and I'm from the Northern Territory of Australia. I wanted to address David and also to congratulate Dennis Kucinich on his stand. But if this was reasonably evident, at least 2, probably even 3 years ago, that that Cheney and most of this administration were lying to get the United States into war, why has it taken this long for anybody to actually get the impeachment charges on the table for discussion? And I appreciate it's politically debilitating for anybody to start this sort of action, but there's still, you know, if it is politically debilitating, 2 years ago would have been equally so. And that's my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Carl. That is an interesting question. Why has it taken so long, David, for people to be getting involved in this?
Well, there have been rallies and protests and marches and sit-ins and demonstrations and media campaigns and house parties. There's been every form of citizen activism for years now, and it really got going dramatically about 2 years ago. But the Republicans were in the majority in the House. And during those months, Democrats in the House were pushing for investigations. They were trying to pass resolutions of inquiry to demand certain information. There was no way for them, with the Republicans controlling the House and the Judiciary Committee, to start impeachment. And that was their excuse. That was the reason they gave. You can go back and play the video of numerous Democrats who are still in the House today, a year ago, 2 years ago, saying they're there for impeachment, but there's nothing they can do. They're in the minority. Now, since January, they've had over a third of a year in the majority, and they've been less active and done less toward investigations of the Bush administration than what they attempted when they were in the minority. And they've been very, very reluctant to move on impeachment, primarily because of the order of the Speaker of the House, who runs their party, that they can't touch impeachment, and they are obeying her. And they have reason to. They're threatened with, you know, they're threatened with losing chairmanships. They're threatened with losing committee positions, with electoral challenges. They're bribed, threatened, cajoled, and pushed to do what the leadership of their party wants.
I see. The next caller is James from Oklahoma City. James, please come up, ask a question of our guest. Mr. Swanson, please. Well, apparently James is not there. I don't know if James walked away or not, but James is not there. Well, let's try again. Apparently James is saying that he is not able to get the mic in the virtual auditorium. Let's try one more time. James, come on. Please ask a question of our guest.
This is James from Rochester, and apparently there was a bit of lag, and it was cut off before. I just want to say it's a pleasure to be able to speak with you, Mr. Swanson, in this medium. Excellent interview. And I had a question about the Constitution. I've been doing a little bit of research, and I found, and I was wondering if you know anything about two different versions of the Constitution, one called the Constitution of the United States of America, and one called the Constitution for the United States of America, which applies to corporate Washington, D.C. And a second question, is Washington, D.C. a privately owned corporation? And I'll listen for the answer. Thank you.
Well, thank you, caller. I'm not exactly sure how that relates to the issue of impeachment, but David, you want to go ahead and answer it. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't know if that's a serious suggestion that two different drafts of the Constitution were written 200 years ago, or if it's a metaphor for the fact that we aren't actually following the Constitution in many ways. If it's the former, I know nothing about it one way or another. If it's the latter, you know, clearly we have abandoned huge sections of the Constitution. I mean, the ten articles in the Bill of Rights, you know, there's only one left standing in the past 6 years. The one they can't put troops in our houses overnight if we don't want them to. But you know, I'm sure they'll get to that one. And you know, the Constitution is not really followed very well from Congress's power to declare war to, you know, numerous sections. But I don't know what to say to the to the caller's suggestion that we have two constitutions. I'd be happy if we had one.
Well, I thought we did have one, David.
We used to have one. We used to have one.
Well, we have another caller. I'm sorry. Well, we have another caller. I hope I didn't walk over you on you there, David. Probably the lag. There's another caller, Tosca. Tosca Puccini from Oregon. Please come up and ask a question of our guest.
Hello, David. It's good to hear you. I've been a Kucinich supporter for a very long time. I have a question for you. There was a poll mentioned earlier that more and more Republicans are getting behind an impeachment. My question to you is, why do you think Republicans are actually getting behind this, and how can we communicate to Republicans to get behind it, for those who have not yet decided or those who are undecided? How can we motivate Republicans or conservatives to get behind this impeachment resolution? Thank you.
Well, thank you, caller. Thank you, caller. I certainly appreciate that.
It's a good question. I think that most Republicans around the country do not see themselves as criminals and pirates and bandits like this administration. You know, they disagree with me on a lot of political issues, but they actually hold very high the rule of law. And if you look back through American history, the party that has attempted impeachment much more than any other is the Republican Party and the force for the rule of law within the Republican Party. And before they even brought out what Nixon's crimes were, a majority of Republicans in the House voted to start impeachment in the Judiciary Committee, to approve $1 million for an investigation to look into what Nixon might have done wrong, because they put the rule of law ahead of the interest of their party or the current president. And to some extent, there is hope that there are Republicans left in our government today who would do the same thing.
I see. We have another caller, James. James from Oakland, Oklahoma City. Please come up and ask a question of our guest.
Yes, thank you. The distinction was made several times during the discussion of the difference between impeachment in the House and conviction by the Senate. And as the experience with both Bill Clinton and Andrew Johnson showed, it's easier to impeach than to convict and remove. And I suspect the same would be true with George Bush and or Dick Cheney. Is impeachment in the House followed by failure to remove in the Senate considered on any level to be a desirable objective? And if so, why?
Interesting question. Thank you, Colin.
I certainly think so. I think every little step toward impeachment, and then conviction, anywhere that process gets is advantageous and is a degree of accountability. And the information that's brought out and made public in a House hearing into impeachment, it establishes in the public's mind the crimes that have been committed, and also becomes evidence for future criminal and civil prosecutions, which is a whole other way of holding individuals accountable. And vice presidents, while they're in office at least, and both of them after they're out of office, if they're not pardoned, can be taken to court. And any degree to which we advance the process of impeachment is a victory. But to try to guess now whether a Senate post-impeachment of Cheney or Bush would convict is a fool's game. I mean, you're going to have a whole different political situation, you're a whole different public awareness. You have enough Republicans right now who have to get reelected in the Senate to give that two-thirds majority in the Senate to convict. And they are already, Republican senators, beginning to go over to the White House and tell Bush to forget this war. There's no reason to think they wouldn't tell him to forget, they wouldn't tell him to resign as they told Nixon to resign before conviction. You know, Nixon was going to be impeached and convicted You know, Harry Truman probably would have been impeached and convicted if the Republicans hadn't gotten what they wanted out of the Supreme Court. Usually, almost always, the impeachment process achieves its ends and restores democracy short even of impeachment, much less removal from office. But we have to go down the road until we get where we need to go.
Have another caller. Josh from Florida. Please, Josh, come up and take the mic and ask a question of our guest.
Good evening, David. I've heard some, let me put it like this. It's been a learning experience for me tonight.
Thank you.
Well, I guess, Josh, something happened there, Josh. I don't know what happened to you, but you hung up. We're going to go ahead and continue on. But before we do that, I want to ask this question of you, David, and I'm going to pretend to be a caller myself. What is it that you would like for the listeners to do? What do you want us to do? We can go to your websites. We have, of course, the number of websites that you have, afterdowningstreet.org and censurebush.org, impeachpack.org, democrats.com. What would you like for us to do? What do you want the listeners to do?
Well, I guess maybe the easiest one to remember is impeachcheney.org. And if you go to impeachcheney.org, you will see a very easy way to contact your Congress member and ask him or her to sign on to co-sponsor the articles of impeachment against Dick Cheney. There are only four members who have done this in the few days that this thing has been out there, and they've gotten, all four of them have gotten good media in their home papers when they did it. And we're going to start getting to where Congress members who don't sign on look like defenders of Dick Cheney, and that's not a position anybody's Congress member wants to be in. Then there's another little button you can click to contact members of the Judiciary Committee and Speaker Nancy Pelosi. That's very helpful. There's another way you can contact the media to get the message out there. So go to impeachcheney.org and you will see many things to do.
People, impeachcheney.org, that's where Mr. David has told us that we need to go, or all the listeners need to go, impeachcheney.org. Please have access to the Internet, impeachcheney.org. Let's go ahead and take another caller. Next caller is Michael from Northern Territory, Australia. Come up to the mic, Michael, and ask a question of our guest, please.
Thank you very much for the kind introduction. Just very quickly, and I appreciate that political tactics are essential here, but can we understand perhaps that the impeachment of Cheney or the potential impeachment of Cheney is an aiming shot with a second salvo to follow aimed directly at George Bush? Or is the potential impeachment of George Bush, is that on the table as far as Mr. Kucinich is involved? Thank you,
caller.
Yeah, Congressman Kucinich has clearly talked about it as a first step, and everyone sees it as a first step. The problem with trying to do them both at once is that you'd add, you know, the accusations of trying to engineer a coup on top of the more difficult political viability of getting Congress members on board with going after them both at once. We're trying just for Cheney, and we've only got four people signed up so far. And you can't go after Bush. I mean, I've tried for many months to explain to people that Cheney's already in charge. This is much bigger than Bush or Cheney or who's in there for a year or so. This is about the future of the presidency. There'd be nothing better for the Democratic Party than Cheney as the face of the White House. You know, it doesn't matter how many reasons you offer. There is no way that the American public will ever accept the impeachment of Bush unless the impeachment of Cheney is at least well underway. You have to go after Cheney first. But whichever one you go after, if you hold the hearing and expose the evidence, you're incriminating the other one as well. There's no way around that.
Remember, impeachcheney.org. We're going to go to the next caller, David. Kate from Australia, please come up to the mic and ask a question to our guest.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Swanson. Yes, indeed, I'm Kate from Australia. My nick says that, but that's true. I listened with great interest today, and I've learned a great deal about the process. My question to you, and I can certainly understand why there would be a push to get Cheney first, because quite clearly the concern is you got Bush first, the baton would naturally pass to Cheney, and that would be a disaster. My question is, if you were successful in impeaching both Bush and Cheney while the government was still in office, to whom would the baton pass? Who would run the country? I know in Australia we had a very similar constitutional crisis where we sacked the government and it passed to the other side. You know, in other words, it went to the Democrats. What would happen? I'm trying to get a clear picture on if you did get both men impeached while they were still in office. Who runs the country? Thank
you. Well, we had a similar situation in this country about 33 years ago when nobody wanted to impeach Nixon because Spiro Agnew would become president, and there was the horror of Spiro Agnew. And he was taken out by a court case for tax evasion, and he resigned. And Nixon nominated Gerald Ford, and he was approved, and Gerald Ford became vice president, so that when you impeached and removed Nixon, or rather scared him into resigning, Ford moved up and became president. That's almost certainly the sort of thing that would happen in this case. And I know there's this childish scenario where Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, becomes president. That happens if Bush and Cheney die simultaneously in an accident. It doesn't happen as the result of impeachment. We end up with a new Gerald Ford who loses the next election, but we end up with a democracy.
That's interesting that you mentioned that. We just have only 2 minutes left, and I have so many questions to ask myself. Oh, let's go over to the caller. Next caller, please come up to the mic, and that is Kathleen. Kathleen from the Philippines. Come up to the mic and ask a question of our guest, please. Well, I guess Kathleen's not there. Remember, listeners, impeachcheney.org, impeachcheney.org. I'd say that again, impeachcheney.org. Also, we have another caller. I'd like to go ahead and get this caller as well. This individual, I'd like to try Josh again. Josh, come up to the mic. Ask a question of our guest, please.
Okay, can I be heard? Can you hear me now?
I hear you.
Okay, thank you. My question was, first of all, I've enjoyed listening to all the different opinions, and some things, I've come away so far changing my mind on some things. But I would just like to know, you know, with the partisanship that's going on in Washington, D.C., as opposed to when Richard Nixon was in office, do you think it would be a waste of time to go through this when you could take other avenues to deal with this, with these people that's in Washington, D.C. at the time?
I'm guessing we don't have time to hear what the other avenues are, and not knowing what they are, I can't really speak to them, but I'm not aware of any other avenue to restore limitations to the executive branch of our government than impeachment. It was put in the Constitution to do that. It works very well to do that, and I don't know of any other way to do it.
Interesting question. I want to say impeachcheney.org. Hey, say it one more time. ImpeachCheney.org. David Swanson, you have been tremendous in this interview. I really appreciate us meeting you. I really do. And I appreciate your coming here, sharing, and speaking with us. Many people have so many questions about impeachment, I think, and I hope during this interview we solved, or at least answered, many of the questions dealing with impeachment, from what is the constitutional says about impeachment to what's the process to impeaching. We talked about some of the reasons for impeaching. We even looked at some of the opposition, the criticism that people have for impeachment, and we've gotten your questions answered too. And David, you said go to impeachcheney.org. Is that right?
That's the one. And Malik, thank you very much for this.
Well, thank you, David. I really appreciate it. Before you leave, I just wanted to say that on behalf of all the listeners, we thank you.
Thank you, Malik.
We thank the work that you're doing. Really, we really do thank you for the work that you're doing. ImpeachCheney.org, folks. And by the way, you work with Dennis Kucinich, don't you?
Yes, yes.
You know, Dennis Kucinich is next on the People Speak tomorrow. Tomorrow he's going to be speaking. I want you to, you know, listen in if you can. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here. Dennis Kucinich will be here at ImpeachCheney.org.
tell him I said hi.
I sure will. Thanks a lot, David. I certainly appreciate your being here. This is Malik Johnson for The People Speak. Thank you very much. Thank you, David. You take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the big wall by the rolling thunder and on a big ball, they took their hunger and I took their wandering. And this man was made for you and me. This land is stolen. This land is mine. Live from California to New York.